All right, we're going to start in James. Chapter 1, we're going to look at our theme verse here. James 1. Get there myself. What are we looking at? 26. 56. James 1. Thank you, Steve, for asking me to teach. It's a privilege to be here. It's really cool to see all you guys. James 1, 21, I'm sorry, 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and just as soon as he leaves, he forgets what he looks like. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." All right, so I'm going to look, at deciding to do God's word. So this verse 22, it says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the end result in verse 25, it says, "This man shall be what in his deed?" And that just means happy. So if you want the things you do to make you happy, you're in the right place, because that's what we're going to find out about. A doer, you know, it's a performer in this context. It can be a maker, but you know what it means to do something, right? That's basically all this is. Oh, and the Bible was, or this section was written in what, English originally? Esperanto. Greek. So when I say this word means this or whatever, I'm talking about the Greek word while we look at this stuff, all right? But the end result is that we're going to be happy with what we do. And the hearers that hear, as opposed to just the doers, they're the people in the audience. They're the people that are just, they're watching other people do stuff. They're listening to, you're in the audience right now, right? So you don't just want to be the ones listening to me talk about this stuff. After this teaching, tomorrow, for the rest of the week, for the rest of our lives, we want to be not just the ones hearing it, but the ones performing the stuff I'm saying, the stuff that the other teachers are going to say, and the stuff that we read in God's word. That's who we want to be. We want to be the ones on stage. And this looking into the perfect law of liberty in verse 25, that word look, it's not the regular word for look. It's to stoop down and look. So, like, I'm not going to do it here, but sometimes when I'm in a fellowship, I'm kind of a jerk and I throw a coin on the ground and I'll ask somebody to tell me what the year on the coin is. You got to stoop down and look. You got to look close, right, on a little penny. You got to look close to see what year it is. We want to look closely at the perfect law of liberty, God's word, that law of freedom, what's available to us now. And we want to find out what it says and then continue in that, stay in it in verse 25, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer, a performer of it. And the deceiving yourself in verse 22, it's to miscount, and then it's to cheat somebody by false reckoning. That's to say, oh yeah, you gave me 10, right? But really they gave you 20. So you stole $10 like I did from Jesse Carr, right? So we don't want to do that to ourselves. And the way you do that is you're miscalculating how God's word works. And the way it works is you do it. It's not just a thing to be heard. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. See, there are situations and issues in our lives where just what the doctor ordered is just to hear God's word, and that can heal your heart like that. It's that powerful. Just to hear it and to believe it. But sometimes you got to do something about what you hear. Sometimes the answer isn't just to read the Bible. And so if the Bible, if fellowship, if things like this, if we're just chasing some feeling that could come and go, we're miscalculating how God's word works. In Proverbs 23, verse 19, it says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and follow your heart." No. It says, "Guide your heart in the way, the path, There's a right way to go. There's a right way to walk, all right? And we're supposed to guide our heart in the way. We are supposed to guide our own hearts according to what God's word says, all right? So it's too often that we follow our hearts when it comes to God's word. I don't know about you, but the times when I least want to read the word or listen to the word are often the times when I most need to. So should I follow my heart? No, because the thing I need may not be the thing that I feel like doing at that moment, right? But how we feel doesn't really amount to really anything in comparison with God's word. But, you know, that's kind of the culture right now. I mean, it may sound silly to say just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true, right? I think almost anybody would agree with that. But how do we live our lives, you know? Do we really just go with our gut all the time? Why? Why go with your gut? How many times have you led yourself astray? I could answer for myself, almost every single time. Seriously, almost every single time. Why would I continue to trust myself? Why would you continue to trust yourself when you have God's word? And what we're going to look at tonight, or today, sorry, is why not just give it a shot? Are you right all the time? Like, why not just give this thing a shot? Because that's really all God's asking us to do. Go to Matthew 6. You know, if you're sick and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, there's a pill for that, and it will knock it right out, do you go, oh, I'm glad I know that, and now I'm better? Hearing that was enough. Thank you, doctor. You know, you got to take the pills. You have to do something. It's not a lot, right? Medical science is pretty crazy, I think. There's a lot they can do. There's a lot they can't do. But there's pills. There's cures for things. You got to take it. You got to do something about it. You got to walk out on it. Matthew 6, verse 20 says, 6:20 says, but, Jesus Christ talking, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this is an expression. Treasure means your thoughts, what you think about. All right. And it says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up. You know, we want to store it away. So it's not enough just to hear it and then have it go whoosh, out the other ear, right? It's not enough to sit in fellowship and feel better for the 20 minutes, 30 minutes that somebody's teaching God's word, and then to just walk out because we're going to feel exactly the same, right? Because it goes in one, out the other. You got to lay it up, all right? If we only wait until we feel like doing God's word, we wait till the circumstances are right, or we wait until, you know, we get that special feeling, right? That godly spiritual feeling, right? When people talk about like, oh, I don't know if I believe in God, but like I'm a spiritual person, right? That just means sometimes they feel connected to something, right? If we wait until we feel connected, like something, the movement of whatever in us, you know, that just means you're going to wait till you've had a couple beers and then you're going to speak the word to somebody, right? We can't wait until we feel like it. We're supposed to lay it up. We're supposed to have it there in store to decide ahead of time what we're going to do with our lives, what we're going to do in situations. We find out what to do, and we decide to do that thing. That's how you walk with God. That's how you believe God's word. Where your treasure is, where you think, that's where your heart is. You know, and you don't have to go there. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? What you listen to, hearing, that's what you'll end up believing. When you believe God's word, that's when you see results. Go to Romans 13. In manifestations, God talked a lot about how his word was true. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, a lot. You know, that's sort of the starting point for all this. If this is just some opinions, still you should still give it a shot. Why not? But it's not. This is the truth, you know? And as we do it, we will see that that is true. We will understand that that is true. Romans 13. So we're stooping down, right? We're stooping down and looking, finding out what God's word says. And then we're going to say, this is how I'm going to react in this situation. Romans 13, 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the epistles, there's a lot of imagery about like what clothes you wear spiritually. What are you wearing? What are you putting on? This says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, act like he acted. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Flesh and lust sound like real sexy words, right? But they're not just that. They're just anything that's like not godly, right? Anything that's just what you feel like doing, right? That's the old man nature. And this is don't make provision for that. And provision is foresight, forethought, provision. All right? What are you planning ahead for? What are you deciding ahead of time? Too often we make room for not doing the word. An out. We give ourselves an out, right? Or we say, I don't know, maybe. We just go with maybe, right? We don't go, oh, you know, if this doesn't work, we just go, I'll do that. I'll do it. But it's not a decision. It's maybe. It's if I feel like it. We leave space for the old man. This says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave any room to do it any other way. Don't leave room to do it, whatever. Kyrie Irving that was kind of a cool story, I thought, right? Kyrie Irving, he envisioned it, then he just did the thing he thought about. He didn't waffle. He didn't go, maybe I'll screw it up, or maybe I'll... No, you stick with, what's the word say? What am I going to do? This. End of story. Romans 12. Hop back like a page or whatever. Verse 17. Says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I don't think that's a very good translation. Here's an okay one. From the Amplified Bible, never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought, this is the same word provision. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. That word honest, if you want a one-word definition, is good. If you want a longer one, well, you're about to get it. Beautiful. Referring to objects whose appearance has a certain harmonious perfection, right? What's good art, right? There's harmony to it to you, right? There's something about it. It's good to you. Where are we at? Oh, physically, exquisite, genuine, perfect in form and nature, morally excellent, right? A good person. They're morally excellent, worthy of recognition, becoming, well-suited, beautiful, and in this sense, like I said, good. What's good? God's good. God's word's good. I am going to provide, according to this verse, the good stuff in the sight of everybody. I am going to think ahead about what is good for other people, according to God's word, and I am going to plan ahead to do that. I will make room for God in the future, right? I will decide today that later today I'm going to do God's word, or tomorrow, or next week, and I'm going to be ironclad about it. 1 Corinthians 12. We must decide. This is a free will situation. If you don't believe we have free will, I don't know what to tell you. Read the Bible. It's pretty clear we do. We therefore must decide to take action on God's word. God does not possess people. That's what the adversary does. God is a God of love and peace and not of confusion. So we must decide. That part is on us. 100%. Romans 12:17 says, oh, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12:7, it looks close enough, right? 12:7s. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Everybody. This is everybody, man. If you believe Romans 10:9, if you're born again, if you don't know how to get born again, ask somebody later, but I could tell you right now. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. So, you do that, this is talking about you. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit, to benefit. For to one, prophet is given by the Spirit, word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Even God's out of breath, right? To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But, all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he... Ooh, what's that little word? To wish, to desire. But it's not just that. See, there's two words. Remember I said this is Greek time. Two words often used in the Bible about this like idea of like wanting something or desiring something. This is not the one just to wish that something was but may not be. This is to have a wish, intention, or purpose formed after mature deliberation. You thought about it, and now that's what you want. To deliberately purpose after careful consideration. So is this dividing to every man severally as he wishes? No, as he decides, as he purposes, as he wills. You want to manifest spirit? You want to walk with God? What's the Bible say you got to do? Decide. You need to purpose. You want to see more of God working in your life? You need to have that purpose in your life. You need to say, I am going to discern spirits. I am going to get revelation. I am going to heal somebody. If we don't do that, there's no guarantee. The guarantee is when we decide. Then we're doing God's word. We need to make a decision of the will to carry out God's word after we hear it. That's what we're talking about. And the thing that happens between hearing the word and performing the word is your decision, my decision. And, you know, sometimes we're in a rut. All we need to do to get out of the rut is pick something and do it. You're in a rut with God. You haven't done anything spiritual. You don't feel like you've done the word in a while. Just pick something, decide to do it, and do it. That's my challenge for you today. And that's what kind of we're going to look at for the rest of this. It can be that easy. Romans 12. I've been saying in my fellowship, every teaching is a renewed mind teaching. And this is the same, okay? So, Romans 12:2 says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Changed. You can change. You can change. Your life can change. It can change. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. This is like when you test something to see if it's genuine. Like the thing I always think about, because in like all the definitions, it talks about metals, right? Probably because in the marketplaces then they would, you get paid in some kind of precious metal, and like we don't handle them so much anymore. But what do, at least in like the Looney Tunes and stuff, to see if the gold doubloon is real? Right? Test it. That's what this is. Try it. God says, try me. Try me. Prove it. Assay it. We don't really use that word. To assay, to make a trial of, put to the proof, examine, and then approve it. Put the word to the test, decide to do it. Decide to do something, and then just do it. Matthew 13. It is not more complicated than this. You know what's more complicated than this? Religion. Religion is window dressing on what we're looking at today. They just take this and they gussy it up and they make it look fancier than it is. It ain't fancy. It's very simple. Matthew 13, verse 3, says, and he spake many things, Jesus Christ, unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Right? Somebody's planting some seeds. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Right? So we're supposed to picture this. That's what a parable's for. Picture these plants. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 34-fold. Who hath ears to what?
Hear.
All right, so this is something we can listen to, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Skip down to verse 18, where he explains this to them. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the what?
Word.
This is about the word. This is about God's word. The word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not. And understand is really, it's to ponder or to lay to heart. It's not just that somebody doesn't get it. It's somebody who doesn't think about the word, who doesn't lay it to heart, who doesn't ponder it a little bit, stoop down and look at it closely. All right. That person, then comes the wicked one, catches away that which is sown in his heart. That's the seed by the wayside. All right. So when we hear it, we want to think about it. We want to stoop down, right? And then in verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and like we do, we're in fellowship, feeling good. And on with joy I receive this, right? And verse 21 says, but he's got no root, no root in himself. But dureth for a while, for when tribulation, mental pressure, or persecution, somebody coming at you because of the word, arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. You get knocked off. We don't want to do that. Who is this person? This person has no root in himself, verse 21, okay? And this person isn't just some, this is not, does this say witnessing anywhere, right? This is about how you receive the word. You, right? This isn't just, this isn't like you always have no root. Sometimes you've got root. We want to have root more, right? We want to have roots deep down. And what do the roots do? They feed the tree, right? But what else do? When the wind comes, they keep it from getting knocked over, right? That's the stability. That's what grips the ground and keeps it in there. So that you don't get yanked up by pressure, by somebody coming at you, you know? Verse 22, he that received the word among the thorns, here's the word in the care of this world, anxiety, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes what? Unfruitful. We want to bear fruit. We want to be blessed in our deed, in the things that we do. But if you receive the good ground, if you want to be good ground, you hear the word, you think about it, and then you bear fruit by doing it. Go to Proverbs 12. You want to ponder, lay it to heart, and decide to do it. Proverbs 12. Verse 3. So this is not just good feelings, right? Sometimes you're not going to feel good or feel better until you do what the word says. That's what the doctor ordered. Proverbs 12, verse 3 says, a man shall not be established, have stability, by wickedness. You know, stuff that's not the word. But the root of the righteous shall not be what? We want to, you got to stay put. We decide to do the word and we stay put. All right? Even if we get some pressure, even if somebody comes at us, you know, because you don't have to go there. But James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will, anybody know?
Please.
He runs, but you got to have root. You got to resist and push back. But once you do that, it's gone. This is God's word. All right? It's just, the rest of it's smoke and mirrors. It's to get us shook. It's to get us scared. God's going to come through, but we got to put him to the test. All right? We got to stand our ground on the word. Just one thing. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. It's one of my favorite places to go. You know, I don't know how long you've been going to fellowship, but if you go long enough, somebody may just give you the vague advice to do the word. Great. It's like 3,000 pages, right? I'll do that, thanks. Pick something. And I like going to this section, because this is like rapid fire, like 8,000 things you could do. Ready? And you could just pick one. Pick one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all. You could do any, tomorrow, pick one. I'm going to be patient to everybody tomorrow. I'm going to comfort somebody that, look, you know, you can look this up, feeble-minded, it's not that good, but somebody who's having a rough time. I'm going to comfort them tomorrow, right? They're not acting right, right? They're out of line. I'm going to tell them about it. I'm going to help them out. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any. I'm going to stop that from happening tomorrow. I'm not going to let people render evil for evil tomorrow. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give what?
Thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove what? Test it all. You've tested some of this stuff, right? It don't work. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You do the word, you are going to hold fast to it because it is going to work. Like I said, you're in a rut. We get in ruts. Pick one. Do it. Or maybe you know the issue you're having. Maybe it's time we need to decide we're going to find out what God's word says about it, and we're going to do it, even if you don't like it. Sometimes we don't want to do what it says to do. We need to decide ahead of time that we're going to do it, regardless of how we feel, regardless of if it feels nice to us to do the thing we need to do. Confronting people, nobody likes that, right? Changing, nobody likes that, right? But these are the things we need to do, and if we do them, we're going to be blessed in our... You're going to be happy with what you do. That's the guarantee. But we got to put it to the test. We got to prove it. And, let's go. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. This is where we'll close. So pick something, and then decide... You're going to do it no matter what. You're going to put your roots down and you're not going to get shook. And even if somebody comes at you and even whatever, you're going to do it. And watch what God does. And we do that more and more and more and more in our lives. And we build our believing. Because we're going to see that God's word works and that God's faithful to his word. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, whether you're doing the word. Prove, same word, your own what?
Self.
Prove your own selves. And then it says, don't you know yourself? You got Christ in you. Unless you're reprobates. But I trust that you know we're not reprobates. You're a son of God. You're a son of God. Try it. Try using that spirit. Try walking with God. Try doing God's word. And you're going to see, verse 6, you'll see. We're not reprobates. All right? So that's what I wanted to share.